CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemp Fusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemp Fusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemp Fusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hempfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bassler. I welcome Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, and we're attending Commercial Space, the great successes of these last days. Commercial Space is driving the ship. And Bob is going to take us to a successful splashdown of Inspiration 4. Bob, what is Inspiration 4? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Inspiration 4 was the first entirely private orbital manned mission to space. Entirely private. The capsule, the rocket, the launch pad, all the crews, all the employees, mission control, everybody was a SpaceX employee and everything built by SpaceX. The passengers were all commercial passengers, no professional NASA astronauts involved at all. The flight was conceived by Jared Isaacman, a billionaire who wanted to go to space, but he also wanted to raise money for St. Jude's Cancer Research Hospital for Children, and that succeeded greatly. And they splashed down successfully after 3 days in orbit on Saturday this past weekend. No problems. I have the live stream still on Behind the Black if you want to watch. I mean, it's somewhat... You know, when it's live, it's interesting, but, you know, watching this now is kind of slow and tedious. But it's still, they make it look routine, SpaceX, and that was a success. And then shortly thereafter, two things were announced coming from SpaceX and Elon Musk that was really interesting. One, Elon Musk announced right after the landing that he's decided to donate $50 million of his own money to the St. Jude Children's Hospital Research as part of this Inspiration 4 mission. That donation put the total donations for the mission over $200 million, which had been the goal that Jared Isaacman had set. And so they made $200 million in funds at minimum for this flight for the research into children's cancer, and that's really great. And the second thing that happened right after the mission was that SpaceX officials announced that they are now expecting to fly about six such commercial missions per year. Now, they were a little unclear. This might include, from their perspective, a NASA flight is a commercial mission because NASA pays them to fly professional astronauts to ISS. But from SpaceX's position, it's a commercial flight. They're making a profit. They're sending astronauts up for a customer, NASA. So this six flights might include the NASA flights, but it also might not. They are implying that they have a quote, "We also have a growing backlog of commercial astronaut missions that we're looking forward to perform." And that is in addition to the NASA mission. So that means they've got lots of customers lining up to buy flights like this. And if they're going to do six flights a year, that just once again indicates that the demand is high. And in fact, it's so high that ISS's ports are insufficient for the traffic. There's going to be a lot of just orbital flights, and that's only going to drive the need to build private space stations in orbit, John.
One detail, Bob. I saw a photograph of the inside of the Dragon capsule with the four crew members. It's roomy in there, Bob. I don't remember Apollo looking so roomy.
Well, it's hard to understand. This is much larger than Apollo. There's no question of that. They can fit six people in this. They can never do that with an Apollo craft. But it's very difficult when you looked even at video or, you know, telecasts during the Apollo era to get a sense of how large or small those capsules were. Because one, on Earth, the size is much smaller because gravity forces everyone onto the ground. And so the space above you is not really useful. When you get into zero gravity, suddenly a room or a capsule gets much larger because you can use all the space, the ceiling, the walls, everything. And so it is roomy. They can put six people in it if necessary in an emergency. So, yeah, lots of room.
The FAA is taking public comments for the Starship Super Heavy license. Bob, have you filed your public comments? You've been making them for years.
I haven't gotten around to it yet, but essentially what I need to do is cut and paste capitalism in space, my policy paper, into my comment. It might be a little large, but I think that'll basically make the point. I'll probably do that sometime in the next week or so. What's happened is the FAA late last week, released its environmental assessment of SpaceX's operations in Boca Chica, taking into account the use of the launching of Starship Super Heavy. The previous environmental assessment was designed for Falcon 9 launches. They're now going to be doing this much bigger rocket there, so they needed to do a new assessment. And that assessment that FAA released essentially gives SpaceX permission to do its orbital launches from Boca Chica. However, it's not approved yet because the policy, the assessment has to go through a 30-day comment period for the public to comment, and then they have to do an industry workshop reviewing the comments and then issue an update of the assessment or even a rejection of the assessment, rechange it. So that comment period's going on. It will end on October 18th, and then they'll do that industry workshop, and hopefully at that point they will approve it. I honestly think that they're going to approve this. The chances of them rejecting it is almost nil, no matter what the comments are. I also expect very few negative comments as a general rule. There'll just be a few, you know, Luddites who like to complain. I would not be surprised, though, if the Biden administration slow walks this. Now, they're making it seem like they're not, but there is a factor here. SpaceX has a very good chance of launching ahead of SLS, and that will be really embarrassing to NASA and the federal government, and I wouldn't be surprised if they try to slow walk it for that reason. They did that during the Boeing SpaceX competition for commercial crew. They tried to slow SpaceX down so Boeing could go first, and they didn't succeed. So, you know, we'll see.
What is a static test, Bob, for Starship Super Heavy? Is that going to be spectacular?
Well, it might. It might not. They do this routinely with their Falcon 9 rockets before launch. And they did a few of these already with Starship. What they do is they put the rocket on the launch pad. They do a dress rehearsal countdown, and then they fire the engines, and they hold the rocket in place and then turn the engines off. They've done that with Starship. They've actually flown Starship. But in both cases, Starship included, they have not done any static fire tests with all the engines attached that would be on the rockets for the orbital launch. And so Starship and Super Heavy, the prototypes thereof, are being prepared for that orbital flight with all their engines. For example, Starship, all the tests before had three engines. The one that's going to go into orbit will have six engines, two different kinds of engines, one with much larger nozzles, three with much larger nozzles. And the Super Heavy is going to have 29 engines. And they've never done such a test before, so they're now preparing. And, in fact, we could see this happen next week. They have SpaceX has scheduled a week-long series of road closures at Boca Chica beginning next week, and that suggests they're about to begin those static fire tests of both the Starship prototype and the Super Heavy prototype, these orbital prototypes. And these Super Heavy tests are going to be interesting because, once again, to do a static fire test of 29 engines at once, it would be a first.
I mentioned, Bob, that there are videos of Musk arriving at the Boca Chica site for the stacking of Starship Heavy and Super Heavy, I believe, is the event. But what's important is the excitement that is obvious everywhere as machines and trucks and people with hard hats are moving around. It's dark because it's very early in the morning in a Texas summer. And above them is this vast construction that you suddenly realize is capable of reaching other planets. I mean, you look at it, but there's nothing official looking about it. It looks like a construction site. It looks like we've been dropped into the building of a monolith and not a rocket ship.
Well, what you're really seeing is making it happen. This is not government where they make it very official and, you know, it's secret and or it's just complicated and there's lots of officials and lots of rules. No, this is just going to make it happen. And so the focus is work, making it happen, build things, get construction crews out there, find the cheapest, simplest way. You know, once again, SpaceX uses cherry pickers and cranes to move things around and simple truck drones rather than gigantic billion-dollar mobile launchers that NASA builds. And they keep it simple. And that's one of the reasons that it's so exciting.
Yeah, and it is exciting. It's like the opening of a movie in which we're going to join the Starship Enterprise in orbit. All right. NASA is looking at a dozen commercial station proposals. What is a commercial station, Bob?
Well, okay. ISS is going to be retired sometime in the next, I guess, 5 to 10 years before the end of this decade, for sure. At least, maybe as soon as 24. And they have reasons to have to retire it because the Russian half is failing and they won't work after them for much longer. But NASA has basically accepted all the recommendations from my policy paper from 2017, Capitalism in Space, because what they are now doing is, instead of replacing ISS with another government-built and designed space station, they are now putting out requests for information from private commercial companies to build the government's space station. There are going to be private stations launched, but NASA wants to have its own station in orbit. And so NASA is putting out requests for information for bids, at least proposals, on building a space station for the government. And they've got about a half a dozen proposals in their hand. They've looked at the costs proposed by these private stations, and NASA's already said that this station will save NASA $1 billion a year in operation compared to ISS. It'd probably be more than that, because you could probably cut more of NASA's operations once it's privately run, but that's another story. And so all it means is they say it in their piece. Let me quote their official. NASA wants to be just one of many users instead of the primary sponsor and infrastructure supporter for stations in low Earth orbit. In other words, they want to be a customer. You know, these private companies are making a proposal. Many of them are already building the stations. They're just making a proposal offering NASA space on the station for its own use. And that's exactly which way it should be, John.
Chinese astronauts, taikonauts, returned from a record-breaking 90 days in space. Someday there are going to be three Chinese taikonauts who go up into Earth orbit with one president for life in Beijing and come down with another president for life. And that is how the Soviet Union told us very early on. Wasn't that 1964? It was 1964.
Yes, it was.
That this was not a stable civilization. Contretemps to come, although it took almost another 30 years to fall apart. Roscosmos, or what was the Soviet space program in those days, was a glimpse of why non-transparent dictatorships don't work.
Yeah. And so they brought the three astronauts down. It, you know, they say record-breaking, but it's not really much of a record-breaking. 3-month mission is pretty short mission for a station. It's record-breaking for the Chinese. It's their longest mission. But they're going to break that record anyway in the next. They not only brought those three astronauts down safely last week, they also launched shortly thereafter, just at the beginning of this week, an unmanned freighter to the station to provide supplies for the next manned mission, which is going to orbit, which is going to launch in mid-October, bring three more astronauts to their station, and that mission is going to last 6 months. That's what they say. At least that's what we have hints they're going to do. And so they're going for a 6-month mission, and they're going to be doing more work to prepare the station for its further assembly and construction, John. That's basically what these guys are doing up there.
India, your former favorite big space program, is now going, well, not quite private, but they're catching on, aren't they, Bob?
They are accepting the recommendations from Capitalism in Space, I think, also. India last year created what it called Department of Space. It's Department of Space. And this is different from its space agency, ISRO. ISRO in the past, though they always tried to focus on garnering commercial business like a private company, was still a government operation, and therefore costs, as much as they tried to keep costs down, they were still a government operation, so there were the politics involved. Well, the Department of Space they created was an attempt to create a new department that didn't have the old vested interests of ISRO, that could then start shifting their whole space program from being the designer and builder, like NASA used to be, to being a customer, like NASA is trying to be. And so the Department of Space in India announced last week that they're going to encourage the growth of private commercial independent, and they have signed a deal with one private rocket startup company, Agnikul Cosmos, which will give them access to the space facilities for that company to develop its own small-sat rocket. In other words, they're going to launch from ISRO facilities through this agreement, but they won't be in a government facility. It'll be a private launch entirely. And in the interim, since they have announced that they're in the process of trying to find private companies to take over ownership and launching of their rockets that they presently have. So they're really trying to do the same thing that Nestor's doing. Right,
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring next on the moon. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.